Next thing is right next door. We've been working for some time that we moved the library downstairs. It's a room called the family room, and we have a live feed right now, and people have provided funds to put a television. And so in that room is a place for young families, place for mothers who would want a place for their child, their infant, and that place has been provided. So that's over there. So thank you for all of those who worked to make that a possibility. Well, today we're getting into a sensitive topic, and the topic is how to pray for our country. And before we jump into that message and go ahead and turn to your Bible to 1 Timothy, by the way, 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to look at just four verses in that passage, 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Other sensitive topics are happening in our country, and this Friday, as I was continuing to recover from my sickness, I received on my phone a notification that Roe v. Wade was overturned. And my response was the same. I was kind of shocked that I was seeing this, because I didn't know this would happen during my lifetime, because that decision was brought down when I was literally in the womb, 1973, when that was happening, I was in the womb. And my first response was astonishment and joy. Now, I understand even in this room, I understand in our country, I have, you know, whatever, tons of Facebook friends that are all over the place. And the rhetoric has again heated up to a very significant level. I have pastoral friends in this community that are pro-life and pro-choice. And I believe around this community, around the nation, in pulpits, there are pastors addressing it, some bemoaning the decision, some applauding the decision. And really, there are some congregations who don't want to deal with this at all, and they're not going to talk about it at all. I am obviously talking about it. Now, I do want to say this, that the conditions in which individuals are considering abortion are never easy. They're always very, very difficult. From high school sweethearts who are 16 years old, 17 years old, finding out that they're pregnant, to instances of rape and incest, to situations like adultery and all of the various things. There are a lot of reasons why people have elected that, and there are people in here who have elected that in their past. I understand that, and it is horrific. My hope is that there would not be situations in which this would be considered, that there would be no rapes, there would be no incest, that there would be none of these things happening. And women and men carry that who have gone through these things, and from me, from my heart, from this church, there is grace, there is love, there is an embracing. We here support life. I believe that life does start in conception at that moment. I understand the argumentation about my body, my choice. I understand that. And we're dealing not just with a woman's body, a man obviously participated, but we're talking about a child's body. This is a different body. And we as a nation, every nation has laws and regulations. And I think nations are often judged by how they take care of those who are most vulnerable, the elderly, those who are suffering some physical or mental ailments, the children, and in particular, the most vulnerable children, those dependent upon the body of their mother. I have personally sat down with people who have gone through this. I know it very personally. I've had girls in youth groups, one in particular, to put a name, her name is Misty. She was in a small town where I was a youth pastor, 16 years old, came pregnant, was a part of our church. We had this discussion, and I encouraged her to keep the baby, and I will never, hear me in this, I will never counsel someone to get an abortion. I want you to know that. But I have compassion on the circumstances. Great compassion, and we need to have compassion. Misty, at 16, knowing that this would change people's thoughts about her, that she would have to carry a baby at that age without any whole lot of support, all of those things that go into those decisions, she decided to carry the baby to full term, which we were grateful for. We helped her personally with the adoption process, and that baby was adopted out to people that went to my college. My wife was there in the birthing room where this little girl took her first breath of air on the outside of the womb. I applaud Misty and her choice. I'm grateful for that child being here. And so the rhetoric, again, is going to be very heated on both sides, and there are people in this room who are on both sides. I'm grateful that children have an opportunity to a greater degree to live outside of the womb. I understand that with this ruling by our Supreme Court, the states still have to make their choices, and we're going to see that raging. So we as a church, me as a pastor and your pastor, if you call this place your home, we support women, we support babies, we support life. And we will do everything we can to embrace situations, and that's the criticism from those who say choice is paramount. We support fostering, we support adopting, we support caring for those. And with financial situations that are dire, we will give, and I'm just putting that out there, we will give baby showers to moms who need babies, regardless of where they are or what they believe, because we believe we want to support them. So this is at the forefront of most of Americans' minds, and we need to pray, and we need to extend compassion. We need to stand strong and put truth out there. Our nation struggles in very many ways, and so we need to pray for it. Be beacons of grace and be beacons of truth. All of that being said, the focus this Sunday is on praying for our country and praying for our community. And it is something that God Himself tells us to do. So please, again, open up your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to read, again, four short verses, three main points. I'm going to be moving quickly through these things. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking to a young pastor, his name is Timothy, and to a church that he was leading in Ephesus. So the Holy Spirit was speaking to a pastor who was leading a church, and he's speaking to this pastor, and he's speaking to this church as well. And so I want us to pay attention to this, because this is instruction from God Himself. And this is what He says. I urge, then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority. We're going to pause there. First main point is this: we are to pray first. I urge then, first of all, highlight that, underline it, first of all. Prayers to the Christian church is not a token thing that we give out, well, I'll pray for you. Prayer matters. Prayer is powerful. It is effective. Now, it's not because of us being righteous, but it's because we pray to a God who is righteous, who does hear, who does move, who does act. And so when we say, I will pray for this situation, it is meaningful. It's not a cop-out saying, well, I'm not going to give, I'm not going to fight, I'm not going to do whatever. It says that this is so important that I want to bring it to the most important being, God, and asking on your behalf with petitions and prayers and intercession and also thanksgiving for this situation. Prayer first. And we sometimes get that wrong. We pray last after we've talked and we've researched and we've done all this. I've been coming to a greater conclusion through this series that prayer isn't the thing we do before we work, but prayer is actually the work. And how we work is a result of how we pray. Do you understand that change? Often we'll just tag a prayer on a meeting, God help us in this meeting, and spend 2 hours, 3 hours on the agenda. And I have become I've been more convicted that I think I have it wrong. So I have been personally praying, and we in our meetings are praying more, and I'm inviting you to pray more and understanding that that comes first, first of all. Petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving be made for all people. It's easier to pray for people that you like. Easier to pray for people that you love. Right? We typically will pray for those people and then curse everybody else. It doesn't say that here, does it? Thank you. I'm glad you can read. May these things happen for all people. People you love, people you don't love. People you like, people you don't like. Jesus took it up a notch and said, hey, in particular, pray for your enemies. Do you pray for your enemies? How do you pray for your enemies? I urge then, first of all, petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving made for all people. And then he highlights kings. This is in the Greek, which the New Testament was written, this is government leaders. Do you pray for our government leaders? And I'm not saying, do you pray for the person that you voted for? It does bother me, I'm going to be real honest. It does bother me that when there is our favorite candidate in the office, okay, we get emails saying, please pray for President so-and-so. But when the other party's candidate win, the other party's candidate win, I don't get a whole lot of those emails. Do we pray for President Biden as much as we prayed for President Trump? Do we pray for President, Obama or Bush or Reagan or Ford or Nixon? Do you pray for them? Well, that's not my president. Are you an American? Then it is your president, regardless if you voted for that individual or not. It would only be advantageous to you in our country if you prayed for every government official. And I'm not saying that on my own. I'm saying it because Scripture tells us to do this. First, pray, and specifically pray for them. Well, I am not praying for him. Well, then you are disobedient to Scripture. How do you like them apples? We pray for government leaders. We pray for second, third category in these verses, those in authority, which includes all people in authority, which includes your boss, our aldermen, our mayor, teachers, local leaders, police officers. We are instructed by God to pray for them. You know, I've read the Bible through and through many times, still learning, still growing. I've never seen anywhere in the Bible that says, complain about your leaders. Have you read that? If you have, please point it out to me. We're squirming a little bit today, and that's okay. I haven't read that. I have read, pray, intercede, thanksgiving for everyone, government leaders, kings, those in authority. Now I'm going to tell us, because Scripture tells us, how we should pray. And there's lots of things we should pray. But Scripture itself says, now do this, and you're going to see the logic as Paul, through the Holy Spirit, continues to go deep into this passage. The next part of verse 2, we pray these things. Why? That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is why we are praying for people. And these people specifically. So that we may live peaceful and quiet lives. Some of you in this room, you thrive on chaos and controversy. Let's stir it up. Did you hear about? Did you read about? Are you praying that you may live a peaceful and live peacefully? I want our government leaders to create a culture in which there is peace. I do want that. We pray that we may live peaceful and quiet lives. Let's sink in. What does this mean for you? What does it mean for me? I'm not talking about being passive, talking a state of being in a state of being. So that we can live in godliness and holiness. Not to peacefully do whatever we want, even if it flies in the face of God's word, but that we would be able to live peacefully respecting God. That's what this word means. Lives in all godliness, that we can respect God by how we live. And in our country, we do have great freedoms, and I am grateful for our country. I am thankful for the freedom we have. The question is, how are we using our freedom, and to what end? Are we living to honor and respect God, and do we live as respectable people? That is, that we can serve God in grace, we can live for God, and live in a way that honors Him to the best of His ability in our hearts. So we pray for our leaders, we pray for everyone, we pray for authority, so that we may live in peace, live quiet lives, live to honor God and whatever that looks like according to His word and holiness. And he continues on in verse 3 and 4, saying, now this is good, and these things please God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That is the ends in which we pray. I'm going to read for you a quote by John Piper, a current pastor who writes and speaks all over the place. So John Piper, reflecting on this passage, said this: God approves of our prayers for peace and tranquility because He approves of the advance of the gospel. Peace is not the main thing. Salvation is the main thing. Tranquility is not the goal. The knowledge of the truth of God, that's the goal. I want you to see the logic in this passage. Going from prayer should be made for all people, and pray in particular for those who are in leadership, who are in authority, so that we can live honoring God and as honorable people, so that people can freely come to the knowledge of who Jesus is and to the knowledge of the truth. That's the ultimate goal. These babies who are being born need to hear about Christ, because without Him, we are dead in our trespasses and sin. Regardless of what side of the political aisle that you stand in, all must receive Christ for salvation. It grades me as a human, as a pastor, saying, I hate those people, whoever those people are. And we're prone for this. And you can fill in the blank. God, help us to have His heart for, quote unquote, those people. That pray for them, who love them, who ask that God would help us see the truth and help all people see the truth, not our truth. Since I'm on a pedestal and a soapbox today, the term our truth drives me crazy sometimes. Well, that's my truth. So you can have a truth that's opposite of my truth, yet they're both true. That's illogical. Our opinion, regardless of what it is, will always be measured by God's opinion, and His opinion is the truth. And we can debate what that is, and we can hopefully search Scripture about what is true.
what is apparently, overtly, objectively true is that all people need Jesus Christ. And God extends his grace to all people. Hear me. So ultimately, if your position wins the day, what really matters is, do people know Christ and do they receive him? Ultimately, that's the end goal. Don't lose sight of that. So this next week, I think our primaries, is that correct? Someone help me. This week, okay. 4th of July is coming up. There's going to be a whole lot of rhetoric. I want you to think about these things. Do I want you to participate in government? Yes. Do I want you to pray? Yes. I'm not sure how much the church prays about these things. So I am committing myself, and I'm asking you to commit to pray, not just on this Tuesday, not just in this election cycle, that you will pray for our country. Our primary problem is not the government. Our primary problem is sin. And sin happens everywhere. If people were not sinning, we wouldn't need courts or law enforcement. And I understand those issues as well. We wouldn't have. Abuses. We wouldn't have to lock our doors. So these are serious issues. And we're going to end the service in prayer, and we're going to end it with music as well, and there will be a welcome lunch. And I know these are serious topics, but I'm asking you to pray first. My inner response and perhaps my outer response will be, if you start complaining to me about so-and-so governor, so-and-so official, so-and-so president, my response will be, have you been praying for them? Because if you have not, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't. If you're talking to God before it, before you talk to me or anybody else before it, like really talk to God and listen, we can talk. But not until then. So God, here we are. God, I am grateful that the gospel bridges all political divides. I'm grateful that we can gather in this place with different political opinions, because we can agree that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, in which I'm the worst. And so, God, as our country will be raging over this issue and so many issues, we pray for all people, regardless of their political positions, regardless of their orientation, regardless of their skin color, regardless of their education or economic level, we pray for all people. That all people would come to the knowledge of the truth and receive you, Jesus Christ, who is gentle and lowly in heart. Your love and your salvation. God, we pray for all of our government officials, starting in the main office, the land, cabinets, Senate's house, judiciaries, local, state, government officials. God, we ask, Father, that you would give them wisdom, that they would understand that you are King and you are sovereign and you are God, that they each would bow their knee to you and they would understand the truth. God, we ask that they would govern in righteousness, that you would grant them wisdom that is way beyond their own, and counselors who would speak what is true and what is helpful. And in this country, that we would have peace and the ability to honor you and respect you and live out biblical faith. We pray for all of the authorities, including our boss, including the boards, including the teachers and officers and all of the people that are in authority in various ways, God, that you would give them peace and blessing and truth. God, I ask that you would be with those in particular who are struggling this day for various reasons. God, we ask that they would come to the knowledge of the truth. And God, help us to see what is true. God, help us to live in a way that is honoring and righteous and holy. Help us with our sin, God, with conviction and strength. Forgiveness, God, help us to live in a way that honors you. And God, I ask that we as Cross Point, those who call this place their church home, that we would be super serious and devoted to prayer. God, thank you for encouraging us this way. God, thank you for leading this way. God, thank you for inviting us to have an audience with you. God, as you have been working in my heart, I ask that you continue to work in all of our hearts, that we would step into and answer the invitation to be in your presence and to see you work among us. And God, we need your help. This country needs your help. The world needs your presence, God. We are naturally bent against you, and you know that. That you supernaturally change us and give us hearts after you for our hearts of stone. And God, help us to become more like your Son. So we pray, God, for our country, that righteousness will reign, that you would be seen for who you are, God, that we would represent you well, and help us to do that, God, because you know it is hard for us sometimes. What to say, what to do, how to say it, what not to say, what not to do. God, I ask for courage, I ask for compassion, I ask for grace, I ask for more love, God. that we would love you greater and deeper and stronger and wider, and we love one another the same way. God, I ask that your church will be known for you, and that we love and that we stand because we believe in you. And as we sang the first song, God, help us to become more aware of your presence. Even right now in this place, even in our hearts, in our homes, in our conversations. May your kingdom come and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to sing, Lord, I need you. So let's rise together and do that any way that we can this morning. And sing this morning, sing, Lord, we need you. Let's sing it in the corporate sense, because we know that we do. Every hour we need you more than ever, Lord. Let us take this message today to heart, God. These words that we've heard. God, we need you. Let us not rely on ourselves and our own power, God, but trust you fully and wholly, God, that you can change us, that you can change hearts, you can change this nation. God, you can have your way amongst us here at Crosspoint and amongst us as a nation, God. We pray for that. So, Lord, let us follow you wholeheartedly, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.